We were talking in the first hour about Glenties having the lowest birth rate in the country, the Glenties Municipal District, or the local electoral area, as they call it now, sorry. A caller says, Greg, they need to open the Limelight nightclub again. That would rise the birth rate. Okay. It's an option. You know, everything's on the table at the moment. Nothing is off the table. Let me see. Caller asks what CPE is. Sorry. I thought I did mention it when I was doing it. CPE is CPE in water. Sorry, I actually thought it was masks and stuff. So that's not what that is. My apologies. CPE in water refers to carbabenamase producing Enterobacteriaceae. It's found in hospitals' environment, water sources like sinks and showers. It refers to a group of bacteria that are resistant to a broad spectrum of antibiotics, making them difficult to treat. These bacteria are a type of superbug and are commonly found in the gut. While they usually don't cause illness, when confined to the gut, they can lead to infections if they spread to other parts of the body. And that's why it's being treated as so seriously. Look, and I can only be honest, I normally get it 99 times out of 100, but this is a bacteria. It's a group of bacteria that's been found in the drains of one of the showers on one of the wards, and that's why people are being asked to use a shower in another area. It's not in the water system, which I think is quite significant. It's actually in the drains. Appreciate the question, which gave me the opportunity to clarify that, and apologies if I misled anyone. Not my intention. Right, lots of stuff here. A lot of reaction to the situation. Hi, Greg. The situation we were talking about yesterday morning. Hi, Greg. That centre in Bunkrana lost a child 2 months ago to the drowning in the Swilly. There's no men in there, only children and women. Do you think commitment minimum should be put them under further scrutiny? They're going through enough trauma. They've been in the community now for 2 years. Surely he's putting them at the risk. Well, it turns out that these work people that were working on an extension close to this this facility in Bunkrana, it's actually nothing to do with the IPASS centre. It's a development completely unrelated. So going up and taking pictures of people and posting them, they're working on a private development. It's got nothing to do with the IPASS centre at that location. It is not being extended. So unfortunately, and this is why facts are important, unfortunately people, unless the information is incorrect, unfortunately people that are being threatened with exposure, doxing, and potentially people going to their homes. The extension they're working on has got nothing to do with the IPASS centre, and it's got absolutely nothing to do with providing additional accommodation for those seeking international protection. So I don't know how that... it just goes to show you really have to be sure, don't you? Greg, as an employee of an IPASS centre, Commitment Minimum has basically called out a mob on me and my colleague. Surely I have a right to be protected from this? Well, it's the problem I would have is, once you get on that route, what's next? Is it, I don't like a pub there, I don't want a hotel going there, I don't want a housing development there. If the public can sort of dictate stuff like that, you know, where does it actually end? But sure, look at Greg, Kim's attitude towards those workers at these centres is practically the same as what the IRA did to those who worked in British Army barracks. They killed them, either shot or car bombed them. The human bomb at Coshquin Derry is a case in point, a disaster case because of where the men worked. So recent Northern Irish history did atrocious acts, but they haven't been condemned in the way they should have been. And then the caller wants Sinn Féin to respond to that. But just to clarify, the work that's ongoing in that area at the moment is not to extend the IPASS centre. It's not on the cards at the moment. Greg, I fully support the gentleman you had on the show yesterday from the Indian community. From my experience, people from India are very gentle, generous and respectful. They are from either Hindu, Sikh or Christian traditions. The majority of IPASS men are from the Islamic community in Islam. It doesn't have the same values and beliefs or understandings of other religions. Muslims look upon others as less and have no respect for the people of Ireland, they say. This is where the problem of the future lies. Something must be done to stop these people. Now, I must say, we've spoken to members of those communities and they don't portray themselves like that, but that's just what that person believes. Hi, Greg. There is a difference in migrants coming of their own off their own bat to make a better life than there is in refugees brought here. Everything they need is paid for. They're not migrants. They are the problem. But the whole conversation, the whole point is that people in all different communities who've come here on work visas or were born here are now starting to experience more racism than they did in the past because they're presumed to be, you know, a narrative of being able to talk about a whole class of human beings in a certain way has been normalised in this country. So it's not a bit wonder that extends to everyone who's not perceived to be, you know, Irish and white. And that's the whole convo. There is no distinguishing between those seeking protection and those that are here working and have been doing so for many years. Half of the staff down at the hospital are not Irish. Good man Kim doing a great job. The Irish government have to go, says that listener. I can see Kim's point. Nobody wants to be seen associated with concrete and block suppliers when the Mica protests kicked off. Kim's way might be the simplest way if you're protesting the right building. Kim disowned the post's wording with a chuckle when you put it to him. Perhaps he wants to talk from both sides of his mouth. Well, he's looking for a future in politics. Totally agree with Kim. These people come to our country seeking only a free ride. How many safe countries have they passed through to get here? It's our benefits that attracts them, not the desire to find a job. While I disagree with Kim over naming people just doing their jobs, I do think the press has to be much more honest with the people. The man who stabbed the guard in Dublin, for example, was described as an Irish citizen and Irish born. It was only later they said he was also Pakistani, but he was an Irish citizen and he was Irish born. He just happens to be, if you go back, the son of immigrants. But I mean, where does that stop? If you're born in a place and you are from a place, are you of that place until something goes wrong and then all of a sudden we go back through your family tree to say, well, actually, we're disowning you there? I mean, I don't often get this argument that people say, you know, about the Irish going to Scotland or America or Australia, you know, because we go in, we went in different contexts often to what we're talking about now. That being said, if you were born in America to an Irish family and all of a sudden they wanted you all to go home because the son committed a crime, that's what we're talking about here. And that would be a better metaphor, I think, for the Irish experience versus the inward migration to this country. I'm a very concerned Bunkrana woman who definitely thinks twice about walking around certain areas now because of these men. Most are not vetted. Also, the infrastructure is not here to cope with what we have, which only leads to more anger and resentment. I do not agree with Kim's actions, but where are our local representatives? Well, you heard Padraig McLaughlin on the news this morning. I think that the workers who are working on IPAS centres are only trying to make a living and do a day's work. We're not in a position where we can pick and choose where we work. They shouldn't be followed home. And they're not actually in Bunkrana working on IPAS centre. We're being told that there are no plans to extend that centre, that work is to do with a different building altogether. Right, let me mention a couple of things, if you don't mind, before we take a break. The coffee morning. A coffee morning is taking place at the Cottage Bar in Bunkrana on Saturday the 9th of August from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. It's in memory of Deirdre McDade, née Callaghan. Spot prizes on the day and all proceeds in aid of the Donegal Hospice and Eye Care. So that's a coffee morning on Saturday between 10:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. That's in the Cottage Bar, Bunkrana. Let me see, I want to get to some of these announcements here. Good morning, I've just been listening. Oh, no, that's not that one, it's this one. My apologies. Happy 80th birthday to Billy Tinney from Ballyholyrafoe. Hope you have a great day from your son Liam, daughter-in-law Claire, and grandchildren Abby, Cassie, Holly, and Andrew. And happy birthday to Christopher Patton from Flaxfield Convoy. Hope you have a great day from Auntie Claire, Uncle Liam, and cousins Abby, Cassie, Holly, and your bestie, Andy. And I just want to give one mention. I'll be back in a sec. Yep, here I am. Now, this is getting close to one of your last calls for Riverdance, the new generation, Riverdance 30. It's the show that hit the big time with that sort of semi-random halftime performance in the Eurovision 30 years ago. And from that spawned a show that has been watched by millions around the world. Some of those legs 30 years ago, they're starting to get a little bit creaky now. And there's a new generation of dancers that are equally as exquisite and talented. And they are in the the midst of a very popular tour at the moment. It's Riverdance 30, The New Generation, and it's coming to the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin, and it's a limited anniversary tour there. We have a luxury coach heading to it, and we want to offer you a space on it. So as part of this deal, you get overnight accommodation, that's bed and breakfast, at the four-star Grand Canal Hotel in the heart of Dublin. I mentioned the luxury coach travel. It will pick you up and then drop you at the door of the venue. Tickets to the show, we've got some great tickets for you, and we'll also allow you a little bit of free time in Dublin. So we have just a very small number of tickets available. If you're interested in heading to see Riverdance on Thursday the 28th of August, get in touch with us right now, 074-91-25000. The coach is almost full. We just have a couple of seats up the front or at the back or in the middle, wherever you choose to sit. They're available for you right now. So give us a call, 074-91-25000. That's on the 28th of August, an overnight B&B stay at the four-star Grand Canal Hotel in the heart of Dublin, your luxury coach travel to and from, and some lovely tickets for the show and some free time in Dublin, and to get to experience a wonderful event, something that will stick with you for a long time with a big group of other Highland Radio listeners. If you're interested, give us a buzz, please, 074-91-25000. Now, we're joined on the programme by Deborah Hannigan, who's a special needs mother. Deborah, good morning to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you keeping?
I'm good. Buzzy.
That's good. Yes, I'm sure you very are. I'm sure you are very. Now, we're talking about issues with changing facilities. And I know this is something you've talked about in the past, and we have too. But at the same time, we have to keep plugging away, don't we? So just recount, you know, your lived experience, Deborah.
Basically, like, I wanted to shed some light. Not again, I know everybody talks about it, but I just don't see any real changes with changing facilities. And as a special needs mum who has a child with, you know, that has to wear nappies and stuff like that, we find it quite hard when we're out to find anywhere that I can change her. Like, it's either the back of the car, or somebody said to me one day, oh, we have a toilet, but you'll have to put her on the floor. And I just don't think it's right. I do talk about it on my TikTok as well, and I did email Piers Doherty to see if I could get some sort of changes put in place. But again, it's up to the government to do that. I don't think it's up to the businesses. Small businesses especially wouldn't have that kind of money to change their facilities. They have a lot of rates and things they get to pay. But I just wanted to come on and see if we can make some change, especially, say, the likes of play parks for children. Like, I can bring Ezra to a play park, but there's no house, there's no facilities for her to get changed or even to get into some of the, you know, swings and things like that. And my friend who has another wee boy, he's really profound disabilities and is in a chair all the time, finds it really extremely hard to get him changed because he has, like, brittle bones. So lifting him out is a danger in itself. So I'm just here today to really shed light on all that.
And we could sort of talk about where places are, there is accessibility, accessible toilets or inclusive toilets or play parks or a wheelchair that makes one particular beach accessible. But they're few and far between, and it's amazing, and it's often community driven that those facilities end up being there. But for a parent like you, and particularly for your daughter, who actually also deserves to have equal treatment and to be treated equally with respect by the facilities, it can't be ad hoc. We need a policy, a plan, don't we? We need to make sure that anything that we do is inclusive to all children.
Well, I think in this day and age now, I don't think there's a family out there that doesn't have a child with additional needs of some sort. So I think you're right. I think policies have to be put in place. I mean, there's baby changing units there. So I think it's about time now we had bigger changing units in-house. Because I was at a hospital appointment there with my daughter, and we were in Skelly Place, and she had wet her nappy. And I said to the nurse, you know, I have to change Ezra before we see the consultant. And she led me to the room, but I looked around and I was like, where's the changing unit? She was like, oh, there's a wee changing unit there, but it's for a baby. Mm. Now, Ezra's nearly 12, so you can imagine trying to put her on that. One, I wouldn't be able to manage to lift her on it. and two, it wouldn't be safe at all. So I think it's very important that places, especially hospitals, things like play parks, you know, places where
government buildings definitely. I mean, every single government building should have accessible should have facilities like that you talk of, because we can't expect necessarily private groups or community groups to do what the state itself is not doing.
Absolutely. And I know I raised it in my TikTok last year that I was at a place and I didn't name the place because I didn't want to do that. But I had just mentioned that I had a Padezra on the floor for there was no other area for me to change her. And they got in contact with me. Oh, can I name the business? Am I allowed to do that? Or,
but I mean, is it a positive engagement you had with them?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because otherwise we'd need to give them a right to reply. Go ahead, Deborah. Yep.
So it was Century Cinemas or Century Play there, and they contacted me straight away as soon as they seen my TikTok and says, we have a plan place to get a new change of facilities, whatever. But anyway, they did do it.
Amazing.
Which I just
think
was amazing.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic. And I have seen it and it's absolutely brilliant. They've done a really, really good job.
Well done to Mark and the crew down there. Yeah.
Oh, I was just blown away by that. Because now it's safe to bring her down there. You know, it's and somewhere she enjoys.
See, the thing
as
is
well.
As well too, like, it's great. I think sometimes it's going to be necessity, but also desire that you bring Ezra with you and she's part of the family and she's part of a day out or she's part of the normal routine in life. But I mean, if it gets to the point whereby, and she's getting bigger all the time, obviously she's 12 now, mm-hmm. that, you know, you either stop doing stuff yourself or she's excluded, you know, unless we sort of start catching up with family's needs. Because you're vocal and you have a great platform and you use that, Deborah. But by default, you're speaking for thousands of families who are quietly frustrated by all of this. And you would know that by your DMs, I'm sure.
Oh my God, massively. I think this is why I wanted to speak more on it, because whenever I did put up TikToks about, you know, changing facilities and stuff, there were so, so many people around Ireland who were struggling the same way as I was. You know, I mean, unless you're in it, unless you have a child like the likes of Ezra or whatever, you don't really know and you don't really think. But the struggle that I have, like if she was the dirty or nappy and I had to change her in the back of the car, like, as I say, she's nearly 12. So
she deserves like better than that. She deserves better than that, the wee dog.
She deserves better than that as well. But it's a whole handling. It's like,
no, I know.
It's such a mission, you know. Yeah. And people don't even realise that, you know. But I mean, so many people are in the same boat as me. And I think it's time in 2025 we changed all that, you know.
Yeah, now people are texting, obviously, Breege on Facebook. Inid Carshlocha in Dunluce has a fully equipped changing facility. There's a hoist and changing bed up in the Vestry Cafe at Letterkenny Town Park, which is great. Mm-hmm. Century, as you mentioned, now have their facilities. And it's brilliant, right? But I know people, and it's not just children, it can be adults as well. But if they're going somewhere in this country, they are weaving all over the place to sort of go to the handful of places, it seems, whereby you can actually change someone or look after their needs. Do you know what I mean? We're a long way from where we need to be. It's great where we see advances, dear Deborah, but I think what you're looking for is just a complete and utter normalisation.
It's amazing the places have it, but Donegal is so vast. Like, I'm from Lufford, so, like, I don't have anywhere that I could change Ezra, you know. Or, you know, even we take her up to play park there in another town and there's nowhere there either. So it is just few and far between. I've took her to Letterkenny Park and I think it's absolutely amazing, but I think every town should have that.
Yeah, a caller says, Greg, just to add to this, if the facilities were there, these would facilitate older people with dementia and additional needs. And there's younger people with MS,
100%.
You know, and there's a whole plethora. I mean, but that is your future. At the moment, you're focused on what it's like for a mum with a child. But I mean, soon we're going to be talking about, you know, what it's like for a mum with a child in their 20s. So it's not just children. It's right across the board that these facilities would benefit.
That's it. Like, even as they say, like, people with dementia and stuff like that, I mean, carers be taking adults out, and it's scary for them, because what if, you know, they do have an accident or whatever, there's nowhere to really rush to or go. Or if they're out shopping, even the shopping centres don't have them, you know. Foilside has one, but we don't have any in Penny's, or we don't have any the likes of, say, Lidl. If I was to go to Lidl now and do my shop and there was an accident, it's back out to the car and then back in, and it is hard work, like.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, it's amazing what you do, to be honest with you, and that you're not frustrated and tearing your hair out, because we want our best for our children as well, and there's a personal sort of protection there. And then when you kind of feel that they're being disadvantaged or not thought of, it's very visceral how it hurts us as parents.
Oh, it's hurtful. At the day that I was told to put her on the floor, it hurt me. I had to get a blanket and put it down, but people don't realise, like, you know, the carer has to look after themselves as well. It's about their back and everything, and that's why hoists are needed, so that I could hoist Ezra up onto a bench, and the bench is big enough to go onto adults. I mean, that would be the dream, but the government has to do it. The government has to give businesses grants for these kind of things.
Yeah, like, and whatever about retrospective, I'm not sure what the planning laws are now, but I mean, every building, certainly every public building, or every major development, like a supermarket development for down in South Donegal, for example, is the most recent one I can think of. You know, a changing places toilet, a fully accessible facility, should form part of that planning permission. And if you cannot provide that, well, then really maybe you should question whether or not you should be running a business at all. Yeah, I'm on about businesses of scale. Do you understand,
Absolutely.
Deborah?
But me too.
Yeah, go ahead.
I understand that smaller businesses, like, I have a small business myself. Now, it is accessible, but is it accessible for children? But if I had any type of grant to help me, I would make that a priority. And the same for every other small business, but we're crippled by rates and whatnot. Mm. So I am talking about the bigger scale, like supermarkets, shopping centres, parks, all that kind of thing, you know. Okay. And especially hospitals, like, it's the shock when you go into hospital, like, I have to change my daughter, all right, there's nowhere to change her. Like, that to me is insane, like.
All right, listen, Deborah, we'll make our inquiries as well. I think this is one of the ways campaigns like this work is parents, or parent people without kids for that matter, put themselves in your position and also then back you. Because if we're reliant on as there's lots and lots and lots of families, right? But if we're reliant on them to drive change, they're not big enough in number, even though they're significant, and not everyone wants to speak out. So this is the type of situation where I, as a parent, have to go, do you know what? This is a disgrace. I'm going to back Deborah on this, because whilst it's not for my kid now, and God knows what could happen in the future, God forbid. But, you know, we need to think collectively and support each other on this one, Deborah, I think.
That's it. Like, if you just imagine if you have a 12-year-old yourself and they're completely fine, but imagine having to change the 12-year-old. You know, that's what it comes down to. It's so hard. It's so hard for all parents with children with special needs.
They need dignity and respect. She's 12 years of age now, and, you know, she needs a bit of dignity and respect. And I know you afford that to her in any which way you can, but you need the state to back you in doing that. She needs to be able to be part of society, to be seen, and not feel that I have to stay in the house because there's nothing there for me. That's crazy.
That's it.
Okay.
That is.
Brilliant stuff, Deborah. I'm not sure if I've cut into your working day. My apologies, but it's such an important
issue. Oh, I'll go to work here now.
All right, take care of yourself. Do you want to give it a plug?
Thanks a million.
Do you want to give the work? Do you want to give it a plug? What you do?
Oh, I do hair and makeup and beauty.
There you go.
Sorry. And I do TikTok as well.
Yeah, when you can squeeze it in. I don't know. It's often what amazes me is, like, I feel like I'm sometimes so busy and tired. And, you know, the world's against me. And then, you know, people like yourself, Deborah, advocates, have so much work on. I don't know how you do it all of the time and fit everything in. It's amazing what you do. Thanks so much, Deborah.
You're very welcome. Thanks
bye
so much
see
for having
soon.
Me.
See you soon. Take care. That is Deborah Hannigan there, if you can relate to that. Or if you want to support what she's saying there, maybe you've got your own lived experience. 086 60 25,000. Well, a vision has entered... a vision has entered the building, yet to take their seat, and I'll be speaking to that special person after these messages. Okay, I'm in studio with the one and only Noel Cunningham. Hello, Noel. How are you?
Well, Greg, I am extremely well. Good morning to all of your listeners on this rather beautiful sunny morning, and very warm out there.
And you know what? We're at that time of the year, dear, whereby if the sun comes out, it's warm. It's nice and warm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we
and the weather, I mean, we shouldn't, we always talk about the weather in Donegal, but the weather has a better nature to it this year. It's most pleasant and most gorgeous.
You were in Clonmany yesterday.
Clonmany yesterday, Clonmany today. Yeah. And we're so excited because about 10 or 12,000 people were there yesterday. We hope for a huge number today. The weather's kind. There is so much to, Greg, in a nutshell, you have a lovely little boy called Hudson. To see the children yesterday in large numbers, in awe of animals and crafts and things going on and the machinery, you know, and then Philomena Begley was there and she was just unbelievable. Today we have David James and other music, and David James is being honoured as the up-and-coming world star.
Where are these honours coming from? What do I have to do to get an honour?
Greg, you have been honoured by me since...
And don't get me wrong, it's one of my most treasured possessions, but that, I can't put you on my mantelpiece, dear.
Oh, you can. I am quite happy to sit on your mantelpiece any day of the week.
No, fair play. And, you know, I was speaking to Caroline before the show came on, and I was like, why do we not do this show from that fair...
Clonmany, it would be wonderful.
I think we might try and do that if we're all still alive and healthy.
That would be such, because the mixture of people, they're from all over the country.
Oh, I'd love to.
People forget that Clonmany Agricultural Show is one of the finest in the country.
And do you know what they got this year's weather as well? Because as soon as it dries, we mentioned it earlier on, it's nice and warm. And even if it's windy, the wind's warm. It's lovely.
And let me tell you very briefly, Per Ver from Donegal Town, who spent weeks accumulating stock to bring over to do a pop-up shop and fashion shows. Their marquee was the only one on the show field that was blown down the night before. So they had to regroup yesterday morning, put it back all together, and they did fashion shows, they did a pop-up shop. Amazing. People are amazing.
No one was none the wiser. Okay, right. Hard to believe it's almost Donegal Camino time again. The countdown is on now to the fifth Donegal Camino, which opens at Shrove Beach on Inishowen on Donegal Camino Day, Sunday 31st of August, and that now is Donegal Camino Day. It's an official day. It weaves its way across the stunning hills, coastal routes and loop walks of Donegal for 7 days, and it finishes on Sleeve League on Saturday, the 6th of September next. And we are delighted to be involved with it again this year. And I'm going to be going to one of my favourite places in the entire world, and that's Aranmore, Ireland, on Thursday, the 4th of September. And I'm going to be taking part. And you know what? As we build up to that, we'd love to bring listeners along and to support this fantastic, fantastic initiative, which fundraises for Cancer Care West Support Centre in Letterkenny, which does the most amazing, amazing work. And I think hopefully over the last wee while, we've been able to help shine a light on the fantastic facilities, the amazing staff, and also the wonderful experience of people that go there. They're not customers, they're not clients, they're family. And I think they always become part of that family then. Deirdre McGlone is the Donegal Camino chairperson and joins us. Deirdre, lovely to see you. And all very, very exciting. You know, can you imagine how lucky we are to have the scenery, the hills, the nature, the walks, to be able to host an event like this? Anyone coming from outside of the area, and even if you're travelling to another part of the area, your head's going to be blown off with the beauty.
Absolutely. Yeah, delighted. We're so, so excited for our fifth Donegal Camino, Greg. And, you know, Noel, myself and Peggy Stringer, who was the founder all those 5 years ago, it was a rainy day on Sleeve League. We had a ball. It was a small crowd. And every year since, it's got bigger and better. And thanks to you and your listeners and Highland Radio for all your support. It's been very much appreciated. But it's a joy, Greg, to see, you know, businesses, communities, people from all over the country getting together to share the joy of Donegal. And even though I'm located in France, my heart is still in Donegal. And I can't wait to get home for the hills.
There's something particularly special just about taking part in the event. And I want to focus on that for a second because it's very inclusive. There are different types of walks depending on people's abilities. But when you're amongst the other people taking part of it, you know, you catch up with someone or someone catches up with you and they recount where they were previously or why they're doing it, or, you know, there's just such a wonderful sense of being with other people in that moment, if that makes sense. I don't want to sound too soppy, but there's something particularly special about this.
Oh, it certainly is. It's, you know, it's quite, it's spiritual in its own way and whichever way people want to interpret it. But definitely everyone has a story to tell and a story to share. And the Camino is all about that, doing it in Donegal, where everyone has feels that freedom and that sort of trust to chat to somebody with no inhibitions and no worries. And it's there's laughter, there's tears, but there's dancing and singing. Once Noel is there, there'll be dancing and singing. But it's a brilliant, brilliant way for people to connect, maybe reconnect with themselves, and certainly connect with others.
It's great to do, you know, with somebody else or as a group, but I think anyone should have no bones about doing this as an individual either, because you certainly aren't on your own. That's very clear from the get-go.
Yeah, sure, for sure. It's a group effort, and we all look out for each other. And there's backup cars if anyone feels a little bit tired, you know, but there are a different, you know, the variety of walks is such that there's something for everybody. So you can do 1 day, 2 days, or all seven. All the choices are there.
It does two very vital things. One, and often this is underrated, I think, in many areas, is raise awareness of the services of Cancer Care West Support Centre. You know, people who hear for a first time that it's there, they didn't even think they would ever need such a facility, and then realise that those services are there, that it's so welcoming, that it's centrally located. That's a very important element of it, I think, to get the message out there, Deirdre. But obviously, too, in raising funds. And the Camino, the Donegal Camino, has been incredibly successful in supporting the amazing work that Cancer Care West Support Centre does. Why is this centre, this organisation, so important, do you think?
Well, having been there, you know, when we were presenting one of the checks one of the years, I was just in awe of the work they do, you know, seeing it firsthand and listening to people's stories, etc. And because they don't get funding from the state, so it's our efforts and the efforts of our walkers and our sponsors and our people who join us, that's what's making the difference to people's lives and people's who are on a cancer journey. So It's a joy for us to be able to do that and to be alive and well, to get out on the hills and not only promote the beauty of Donegal, but raise those awareness and funds, much needed funds for cancer services in Donegal.
Noel, you would concur, obviously, that they do amazing work down there. And but maybe family was the right word. It's just, I know people personally who've come through their cancer journey. There's so much goes on, you know, bounce back cancer, so many things that people worry about. You think, I've got the all clear, the phraseology we use, and you think it's all over. But for the person who has had cancer, they continue to engage with Cancer Care West because they get the anxieties that people might have, or they continue with their support. It's an astonishing thing all over, Noel.
Absolutely. And bonjour, Deirdre. Lovely bonjour. To hear your voice. Look, there are no words to describe the spirit of the Camino. And the marvellous thing is that spirit of the Donegal Camino is also the very spirit that lives and grows daily in the Cancer Centre in Letterkenny. I have been so privileged to be patron of that and to be involved from day one. And what happens, as Deirdre said, in those rooms, it's quite magical. And every cent raised on the Donegal Camino is helping support. And the people on our Camino at different stages might say, oh, we attend. We mightn't even know they're going there. And as Deirdre said, there's a spirituality and this lovely healing that takes place on the Donegal Camino that people really just find astonishing. And honestly, I can speak for the entire committee. It is such a privilege, such an honour to be involved. And this year, if you'll give me a little bit of a moment to say, we are extra excited because we are inviting people to walk across the waves. We are trying very hard to engage ambassadors in Australia, Canada, the United States, and on Camino Sunday, very graciously gifted us by Donegal County Council as a title we will use forevermore. On Donegal Camino Sunday, we are inviting people wherever they are to walk or run or just meet meet and chat, 5 kilometres, 10 kilometres, and to make a donation. And all of those methods of making that donation will be very clear in the days ahead, because we will be spreading the word around the globe. And you know what, Greg? It is so exciting. Because
yes, they're so ambitious as well, because you set targets and it's like, no, couldn't possibly be done. And yet, the amount of money being raised to continue the amazing work of Cancer Care West, the figures are astronomical. So talk to me a little bit about how people can contribute. Are we going to be launching that down the line, Noel?
Well, we're very much in the process as we speak of, we already have ambassadors in place in different cities in Australia, in America. Okay. Yeah, so that process is already started. And then it would be really very much a blitz on social media through ambassadors, through connections that Deirdre and Peggy and Noreen and John and Michael and myself have in these countries to get that message out. Because, you know, people can never know how important, like, for example, when you did it, the money you collected, your listeners were so generous and so kind. The Rabbit family, so supportive. Every penny counts. And everybody who walks, they have a great opportunity to raise personal funding by way of sponsorship, because it really swells the coffers.
Well, I am open to sponsorship, by the way. It all goes to the one place, right? So I don't care if you preferably donate directly to the Camino through what we're going to be doing, or I'll set up my own as well for people that suits better. But I want to at least go 50% above personally what we raised through this show last year. We did really, really well, right? But I think I was a little bit timid last year. No, I just don't think I was brave enough, you know. But I've put on my big boy pants now, and I'm ready to put myself out there and all.
Look, I have wanted you to put yourself out there. I said,
you've been wanting me to take my big boy pants off for 10 years. Yes, you have. Don't deny it now.
I told you last year you were too timid about it, because you are Greg Hughes, and with the support of this extraordinary radio station, you can just move mountains, literally.
Well, the day on
Aaron Moore will be beyond magical. Yeah. And as Deirdre said, we as a committee probably get as much out of it as those who are walking. And remember, there are people walking, you never know what load they're carrying. But so many of them at the end of that week will say, you, Donegal Camino, have no idea what you did for us. And that's fair enough, Deirdre, to say.
Absolutely, absolutely, Noel. And as you say, this year, you know, by broadening the reach internationally and making it easy for people to donate, that's very important as well, Greg. All people have to do for the donation would be, for the Donegal Camino Sunday, is donate, go to donegalcamino.ie/Sunday. And that will be wherever you are in the world, you can donate for that particular event. But it all goes to one area, and that's Donegal Cancer Care West Services. And individually, walkers are invited, of course, to set up their own iDonate page. That works very, very simply. We also have walkers having their traditional sponsorship cards. That's fine too. But really, there's QR codes everywhere. There'll be buckets on the roads up and down the county on the week. We're not going to be timid about asking people to help us reach our target this year.
And I think just one of the messages I would like to get across is how it's inclusive, and it's not a private thing, and it's not for certain people. It's for absolutely everybody. I think sometimes maybe if someone's missed out on 4 years, they go, well, it's a private little thing that I can't. No, it couldn't be any further the truth. This is the most open and involving and inclusive thing. And if you've never even dreamed of doing it before, find a section of it that suits your ability, or even do as much as you can. As Noel mentioned, the support cars, there's a great deal of support there. But this is for everyone, because it's to support services that are there for everyone, Noel.
Absolutely. And, you know, the important point you make there is, as soon as a person arrives on the morning of a particular day's walking, they immediately know they're with kindred spirits. The the warmth of the welcome from those who've done some stages of it before, or indeed those who've just began a few days earlier, is immediately extended in warmth and falcha in the most gorgeous way that you immediately say, God, I just feel part of this.
Yeah. And a part of that is as well, it doesn't matter if you're a billionaire, a millionaire, or don't have two shillings to rub together. Cancer does not discriminate.
Absolutely.
And neither does this event. This event is for everybody. It is incredibly inclusive. And I can't express enough how much you will get as an individual, or doing it with your partner or your kids or whatever, that you will get on a personal level, but at the same time supporting an amazing charity. And of course, Deirdre, you'll be back, of course, from beautiful southern France to take part. You're always back and forwards anyway.
I can't wait. And do you know, Greg, how I would sum up the Donegal Camino? It's like getting a big hug in the hills of Donegal. And everybody loves a good hug and needs a good hug. Isn't that right, Noel?
Greg Hughes has the best male hug that I know. I travel here to do the show in the studio for that hug. And I also want to make a passionate appeal to all of the wonderful listeners. When you see our little poster for our International Camino Sunday Day, we urge you to send it to your family, your friends who are living abroad, asking them again to spread the word, to get the message out, because we're almost, you know, we're almost sort of excited to think that we are the main fundraiser now for the Cancer Centre in Letterkenny. And we are so proud of that. And as Deirdre said, we're losing our timidity this year. We are going full blast.
Oh, 100%.
And lots of hugs.
Okay, lovely stuff. Deirdre, unless there's anything you wish to add, neither you or I can, as much as we might be enthused, we can't match Noel's enthusiasm, so I'm going to leave that to him. But listen, we'll be getting the Donegal Camino, the website, the Facebook page is there. It's about being involved, getting involved, being included, being part of this, Deirdre, and I think everyone who can
should be. Yeah, absolutely. And it's promoting Donegal as a world-class hiking destination, of course, as well as a great place to visit, live, learn and work, in addition to raising funds. But, you know, absolutely, it's all about getting together and, you know, feeling that Donegal is, wherever you roam, Donegal is home, be it across the ocean or in the south of France where I am. Or
hold on, you
say,
you've two-thirds of a verse written for a song there, Deirdre.
Oh, let's get
okay,
on.
Listen, lovely to see you. Take care. Greg. Bye-bye, Deirdre.
Great
and you look fantastic and healthy. Great, bye-bye. See you. Noel, thank you so much. You're off to...
Clonmany.
Clonmany.
Yes, okay. And come and join me. Yep. Bring the kids, get in the car, drive over to Clonmany. I can guarantee you the most wonderful day.
Lovely day. Listen, we're
and thank you so much,
Greg. We're going to be speaking so much more about...
Absolutely.
As the time, this is just really from a Highlands at 9 till noon show perspective, our launch of it, and we're going to be. I don't know what we're going to work on. I'd love to physically bring listeners over on a bus or something, you know, to join the walk or something. We'll figure that out, Noel.
Anything's possible.
Yes, of course.
Anything's possible.
But my best ideas come when I'm driving, so I'll have to get into the car and drive somewhere, and I'll have loads of inspiration. Noel, safe journeys on to Clonmany.
And thank you so much, Greg. Thank you, Highland Radio. Thank you to the Rabbit family. We are indebted and so grateful on behalf of all of those in our county and beyond who are on a cancer journey.
Of course. And listen, we've all been there or are going through it. That's it. It's the leveler, you know. So, Noel, thank you so very much indeed.